Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the
cuff, baby. What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the Queen of Trap, representing Crenshaw. And you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. It's Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
Are you by my side? Will I see you when I wake up in the night? I'm wanting affection, can I hold you tight? No letting go, tell me it's alright.
Tell me it's alright.
Tell me it's alright.
Tell me it's alright.
With you it's such a vibe, cause girl it's love to show.
Yeah,
I'll never let you go. How we vibe is so discreet. Vibing close to us when we all up in them sheets. Crispy 7th Street. Sex professor and you the lesson that I teach. Say by the bell, call I screech. I am an offer, I dig you down, me to me. Keeping the vibe, wanna give you where to ring. Where you wanna go, I wanna buy you everything. Now I just want to know where you want to go with me. Anywhere you want, baby. Let's take a trip and leave, baby. Take a trip with me. Fly out. Live your fantasy. Are you by my side? Will I see you when I wake up in the night? I'm wanting affection, can I hold you tight? No letting go, tell me it's alright.
Tell me it's alright.
With you it's such a vibe. Cause girl it's love for sure. I'll never let you go.
Such a vibe together, just you and I. We got them burners and bills, just do or die. And any nigga try to approach us, a suicide. You and your Birkin pick you up in the whip and got two inside. And all these bitches on me now, but fuck them, no doggy style. Never knew how to love, so baby, come show me now. In the fast lane, race for the bag, no slowing down. Ain't knowing you back then, they was hot, they hoeing now. Like young jock at Air Force One, just going down. You hold the crown and you a queen, if you ain't know, you know it now. They tight like a suit tie, next stop Dubai. Told her twerk fast, in first class, cause she too fly. I'm on a mission, so baby, come fuck me missionary. And in my eyes, you the shit, you a visionary. Ice cream, Ben and Jerry, pipe game, cemetery. So rest in peace, baby, cause you dinner ready. Cause you food, girl. And I ain't talk about them niggas that ain't good, girl. And you good at being bad, you a good girl. And shorty dripping with the shine like some good curls. So shout out the West Coast, shorty give the best throat. And in the room I got her bustin' like she Deathstroke. She ain't a teen type, but let them bullets fly by, so no street fightin'. Then again like teeth white.
No letting go, you're holding back. Because you are my lady. When I'm with you, it's such a vibe. Such a vibe. Such a vibe.
Are you
by my side. Will I see you when I wake up in the night? I'm wanting affection, can I hold you tight? No letting go, tell me it's alright.
Tell me it's alright.
Tell me it's alright.
Tell me it's alright.
With you it's such a vibe, cause girl it's love for sure. I'll never let you go.
Y'all know what time it is, man. This is your host, King Eric, the Media Assassin. And you know, I tuned in to Off the Cuff Radio, man. Live and direct, man. Show sponsored by Cocaine, Buddy Boy Entertainment, Fleetwood and the Cop Pickers, Da Vinci Clothing, Jesse's Boutique. And, man, got a dope double lineup ahead for us.
What it do, y'all. It's another TNT. Tuned in tonight on a Thursday. It is OTC up in the building. I'm your co-pilot, T-Max, with the Sax. Shout out to our co-host, Mr. All the Sandman. Of course, we got to give a special shout out to Dirty Basement Radio, who is also a great friend of ours as well. And King, tell everybody about who we got tonight tuned in.
Man, let me tell y'all, man, when we was talking about a couple shows ago about there's a new renaissance going on with New York City, this guy is part of that renaissance, man. Of new spitters, new talent, new heat, new wave. And as you heard with this song here, it's a new vibe, man. This guy here is probably one of the most talented coming from the underground. I mean, he took a hiatus from what I read about him, but now he's back in the game. Tell us about his story, new projects, whatever he got lined up. The floor is yours, my man. What's well, welcome, my man. B Bills in the building. What's good, my brother?
Yep. Hey, how you doing, boss? How you doing?
What's going on, man? Great to have you with us.
Hey, yo, glad to be here, man. What's going on, guys?
Yo, first
Definitely,
of all, man,
man.
Let me give you, I got to prop you up on this one, man. For you sampling that Fish classic man. Way Wonder shit, man, you took it back with that one.
Yeah, I knew it was going to hit, man. I knew it was going to hit. It brought me back to my days when I used to be in the house parties and sweating to 5, 6 in the morning. You know what I'm saying? So I knew that it was going to bring back that essence for a lot of other people too, you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just that type of energy that's needed, man, because, you know, we got a lot of the grit and grime out there, and you bringing that feel good
right.
energy vibe back. That's what's definitely needed as well, because hip hop is revived with balance.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah. Man, look like King said, you know what? Like King was saying, man, in terms of the sample, you know, especially with a killer flow, you know, you have a consummate composition over a classic track that really, really elicits the essence of, you know, really that feel-good time of music, man. I mean, in terms of it, I mean, you hit it, you know, I mean, you hit it on both fronts. Obviously, it was a great introduction. Well, not even so much an introduction, but a reacquaintance of, you know, your craft and whatnot. So, I mean, tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, how you started, you know, what was going on, and, you know, your hiatus and then coming back.
You know, growing up in the Bronx, you know, and I'm from Cedar and Cedric. So if you know about Cedar and Cedric, you know that's the birthplace of hip hop. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
I'm from that
area. Cedric Boulevard. Yeah, 1520.
Right. Right. So I'm from that area. So, you know, for me, it means a lot coming from that area. And it means a lot to give it my all and give the best craft I possibly can, you know? And, you know, nowadays, you know, it's not as popular to be, you know, a bar spitter or a punchline or a lyricist, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's just, you know, they do what they're doing. I don't knock nobody for what they do, but, you know, that music that make you think like, oh, he just said that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to bring that back in a major way, you know? And we got a few other cats that's doing that, that's still keeping that alive, so I'm trying to be one of them, you know? But, you know, since I was like 15, you know, I've been writing bars and, you know, doing this music thing, you know, probably 2012 is when I probably released like my first song. You know, it's music has always been a love, you know, that I've had. And, you know, I've done music and then I'll stop because I feel like it's not paying the bills. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you're young, you're like, ah, it's not it. But you know you got a talent, but it's like the world don't get to see it. So it's like, ah, I'm focus on, you know what I'm saying, something else. And then, you know, as I got older and I ended up having my own family and my own kids and stuff like that, you know, I just realized that I was putting a lot of money into it and I wasn't getting nothing back. So I had to kind of refocus on what was more important at hand, and that was, you know, the family business and, you know, my family at home. So, you know, I took a little two-year break, and then, you know, people just kept telling me, like, yo, bro, you got something, man. You nice. I hear these dudes on the radio. You should be on the radio. You should be here. You should be doing this, you know. And it struck a nerve because I felt like I wasn't being my true self, you know. So I just, you know, one day, and it started, like, right before the pandemic, I kind of was, like, thinking about coming back to doing the music thing. And then during the pandemic, I was just putting the pen to the pad and getting busy. And then, you know, September was the first time I jumped back out, and I dropped like the Flameless Flow freestyle, and I got like 45,000 views, and that was the first time in years I ever got views like that so fast. And it was like, oh, okay, maybe the people really did miss me. So, you know, I just kept it going, and then every month after that I was just dropping a new visual, and then I just kept it going. And now, right now, that song that you just played right now, you know what I'm saying, they got 126,000 views in 10 days, you know what I'm saying? So it's going up right now. The album just came out about 3 weeks ago. It's crazy. Got over 250,000 streams right now. So, you know, I'm just working, man, trying to give the people what they need.
And that's something, man, because all the hundreds of guests we've had on the show, you know, here at Off the Cuff Radio, we are always championing for the underground, the underdog, you know, the unsigned. You know, what we do is independent based. So we really, really, really have an understanding of what goes into it. And we know that feeling when, you know, you put a lot into it, and sometimes, you know, it doesn't necessarily yield the results that you want, but the love is what keeps you in it, even if it doesn't necessarily, you know, have the results that you're looking for right away. And your story is about persistence, it's about patience, and ultimately triumph, you know, over time. When you think about the metrics of how hip hop has changed, from where you said punchlines are not necessarily the focus anymore, it's not necessarily about the skills more than it is about the theatrics and the antics. As an artist, how do you feel about the culture today, and how do you think, and where do you think everything started shifting?
First thing I want to say is that I appreciate evolution, you know what I'm saying? And everything has to have some sort of evolution to it, and things change all the time. And then sometimes things revert back. You know, we see it with clothes and everything, you know what I'm saying? So I still appreciate where music is today, because it kind of opened up a lane for people who don't have those type of skills but can move a crowd in another way. You understand what I'm saying? So
right.
I respect it a lot, and I kind of channel my skills into those type of music as well, just to kind of show the youth and my peers and people my age that, you know what I'm saying, I could do all of that. You know what I'm saying? It's, I'm not exempt from any of that. You know, I just, my choice of music is really that barsy, make you think type music, feel good music. But, you know, I still have fun doing the auto-tune type music and the drill and all that. You know, I still have fun doing it because it's still music. You know, art is art regardless. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I appreciate it. But at the same time, you know, I just kind of, for me, I just want to shed more light on, you know what I'm saying, the essence of rap music, the essence of hip-hop, you know what I'm saying, where a person really had to sit down and put something together that make you think, paint a picture, you know what I'm saying, make it, create a visual because you see it already through the lyrics, you understand what I'm saying? So, you know, I respect it, but I'm still on the kind of like the old school wave, but with a new school feeling, you get what I'm saying?
Definitely. And I mean, you're coming from the Bronx, obviously. It's a who's who of greats that have come from there. Of course, most notably, you know, a quick list, you know, KRS, you know, Fat Joe, mm-hmm. Big Pun, you know, French Montana, you know, among so many, you know, so it's definitely got a history, you know. I mean, tell us about some of your influences of who inspired you to rap.
Fabulous. He's like, you know, my top five. Fab, Eminem, Jadakiss, Lloyd Banks, you know, people like that, you know, that, you know, when they spit, it's just like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, whoa, you know what I'm saying? So those are the people who influenced me. Nas, you know, and then I even got people like now, like Dave East. Like, those are people that kind of cater more to my sound and music that I love to listen to, you know. So Griselda, you know, Benny, you know, Conley.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, those are the people that I truly, you know, when I just want to get in that mode, I listen to them, you know what I'm saying? So, but I still have people that are, you know, influence me in other ways of music. Like, when it comes to auto tunes, you know, I'm a big fan of Travis Scott, you know what I'm saying? People like that, you know, kind of give Young Thugs, and, you know, they give a different air when it comes to that type of music. So those are the people that I listen to when I'm in that type of mode, you know what I'm saying? But as far as what got me here is definitely, like I said, the Lloyd Bankses, the Fabulous, the Jada, D-Block, Jay Hood, you know what I'm saying, A-Team, Hitchcock and Ransom. Like, those are the people that really got me here. I never was like a Biggie, Tupac, Jay-Z type dude, even though I listened to them and I respected their craft and I always will. But they weren't the ones they weren't my go-tos when it was time to write something down. You know what I'm saying? I would go listen to Jada and Fab and stuff like that, because that was more my style, you know?
Yeah.
Man, because those guys bring bars and they bring cleverness, and you can pretty much study and analyze them. It's just the way Kiss and Fab just say stuff. It's more so what I call rewind punchlines.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I would classify my my strategy when I deliver, is make you go back. Like, wait, what did you just say? Like, you know what I'm saying? Make you think, like, wait, I got to catch that. You know what I'm saying? So definitely.
Yeah,
we
mentioned
that. Man.
People don't really
yeah.
focus on bars like that, like, because, you know, we also come from that era too, man, where, you know, we want to make people rewind. Like, what did he just say? Like, even with Big Pun, when he had the mm-hmm. verse off the Twins joint, but in a little da diddle da diddly, we were like, what
right,
the hell?
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, we talk about Fab, and it's off the cuff, so we're always free to give our opinions. In my opinion, you know, doesn't necessarily have to be everybody else's. I think probably Fab is arguably probably had the second best career next to Jay in terms of commercial viability and longevity. Not saying that Nas isn't great, and not saying, you know, but when you look at it, Nas is legendary. Nas's MCing is on a tier that you really, really, really have to be on a certain relationship and embracement of hip-hop to really appreciate for what that man brings. As great as he is, you still got a lot of people that really do not give full appreciation to what Nas does, because his art is so intricate, it is so intimate. It is just intellectual. It is just on another level. But when you look at the commercial viability of somebody who hasn't released an album in damn near, what, 5-6 years, it still could sell out. I mean, I see Fab in that same vein as Jay in terms of the witty punchline still is relevant to a lot of the core audience in terms of, you know, and he transcends time. You know, Fab could do a show today. He'll do songs from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and it's still going to rock.
Timeless music.
I mean, and then, you know, when he's dropped the Summertime Shootout series, you know, when he dropped the Soul Tape series, we were like, whoa.
Yo, that's, and I still bump that to today. Like, that's my favorite series, them Summertime Shootouts, and then the Soul Tapes. You know what I'm saying? Those are, like, my favorite go-backs, you know what I'm saying? And you know what it is, too? Like, a lot of those dudes that I mentioned, they're not what you would call A-list celebrities, because they don't know how to make commercial music. They make more music for the streets and a listener that wants to hear lyricism. And Fab separates himself from that, because he knows how to do that and still make commercial music to where you can play it anywhere. And that's where I kind of pride myself next to him when it comes to making my music.
Right.
Datakiss, when he took over the verses, and he had to let people know, like, look, I'm top five of alive, and that's just all one LP. Man, y'all ain't forgot.
Right,
he bring the competitive aspect.
I mean, Jada, I mean, we think about Jada, man. Shout out to Jason Phillips, man, representing one-third of the legendary Lox, you know, representing YO. I mean, J to the Y is like, you know, it's wild, y'all, because we always knew Jada was nice. We saw the verses. We just saw a whole nother level, like, of Jada just activated that we just did not ever see prior. It was like, I mean, he, I mean, that,
right.
What he did in that verses was like, I mean, he literally, like King said, he literally took it over, and he's like, look, well, you got time. We got people making a mock time cover saying, Jada, he's outside.
Like, right, right. It was like,
I mean,
all the humbleness went out the window, you know? And he showed out, and as he should.
It won't, it stopped being friendly. They were coming for blood.
That's a fact. That's a fact. That's a fact.
Yeah, but that's the competitive nature of it. What do you feel like in hip hop today in terms of how the game is in reference to how the aspects of it, how do you see it in terms of competitiveness or, you know, just overall the art in terms of how people make music and how it's marketed, where the aspects of it are?
I think that now it's so much easier to make a name for yourself because of social media. So I think that hip-hop is in a great space with just having a more free range, you know, for people to get their craft out and really get people to hear it. See, when I first started doing music, you know, it wasn't that easy because you just had to have a name or a number, you know what I'm saying? And you still do today, but it's easier to get that. You know what I'm saying? So many tools you can use. As long as you know how to use the internet the proper way, you can get yourself on and you don't even need a label anymore. You know what I'm saying? So even going back to me, like, you know, 10 years before, I couldn't make music off, I mean, make money off my music. You know, now I'm making money off my music. You know what I'm saying? So I love the direction that music as a whole has taken with the whole internet thing. But I also feel like, you know, music is so dangerous right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's sad. It's super sad that, you know, somebody can change their life in a second off the internet, off just, you know, pure talent or not even talent, just giving people what they want to hear, and then they lose their life the next week. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, it's like a double-edged sword when it comes to how the game is now. It's like, you know, you make it out the hood or you stay there, whatever your choice is, and then you lose your life after you work so hard to, you know what I'm saying, you know, become who you want to be. And then at the same time, because people are obtaining fame so fast, they're not appreciating it and they're moving sloppy. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like with me, I'm going to always keep it, you know what I'm saying, sturdy mentally, because I know how long it took me to get to where I'm at even today. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to a kid that just started rapping 2 months ago, and now he's a phenomenon, and then boom, he gets locked up or he's taken out of here. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of weird stuff going on with hip-hop right now, but, you know, my love for it is still my love for it, and I still appreciate, you know, what hip-hop has done for me and a lot of other people, you know? But it's just a dangerous time right now to be a rapper, you know? But that doesn't scare me. You know, I walk through, so, you know, I stay out the way, I do what I do, and give people what they need.
Yeah, and that's real, man. When we think about it, King and myself, you know, and I say this all the time, we talk on air, we talk off air. When we look at how the game has changed, even over a period of 10 years, I mean, when you look at it 16 years ago when YouTube was invented. And it took about maybe 5 years before you really, really saw a lot of artists realize the possibilities of what it could be in terms of marketing yourself. Because what the best part of what social media did on one hand was it gave the power back to the artists in terms of taking control of their music and doing it directly. You don't have to have a label in terms of, you know, looking at a budget. Okay, well, you're on this schedule, you're in the third quarter, you know, you're in the fourth quarter, we're going to release. Artists learned how they could just drop their shit right then. Technology has exponentially been increased in terms of where we see now. King and myself were older, so we remember a time that if you were going to shoot a music video, that was a pretty big deal, because I mean, you had to get a camera crew, you know, then you had to get editors, you had to get all of this, you know, and this is even before you're even thinking about getting a video on television. Now, you know, you can get a, I mean, you can get a good camera now for around what, $3,000-$4,000, you know, even if you want to go all in, $10,000, and you that red camera. You know, like shout out to Smoke Bulga last week from MMG we had on when he broke down the, you know, the game about the visuals and how he went about his business shooting videos. You know, once that red camera came in, it was a game changer. And like you're having his like doing this independently. But what you said, man, really, really, really speaks volumes, because what we see now is a change where you're seeing a lot of young people getting into the game who don't really understand what fame is in terms of what it entails. And a lot of times, you know, there's no rule book, there's no guide for the glamour and glitz, you know, what you're with. And you see so many people, unfortunately, you know, they get addicted to the intoxicating vibes of celebrity. And then we see, tragically, the crash and burn when they overindulge themselves. I mean, you as an artist, you've seen situations. How have you managed to stay humble in all of this in terms of where you're getting noticed, where your music is out there, where you have achieved a level of notoriety and celebrity?
I mean, it just always takes me back to 10 years ago when, you know, the only people that knew me were my peers, you know, and maybe a few people online. It takes me back to where, you know, I could just drop an album whenever, and there wasn't a DistroKid or a United Masters or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just appreciate, you know, where music has gone, where an independent artist can really make a name for himself, you know what I'm saying, right in his crib, you know what I'm saying, sitting in his crib and really make a name for himself. So, you know, I just appreciate the levels, you know, and you know, I'm a little older than these young cats that's out right now. So, you know, I just have a lot of wisdom. I've been through a lot in this music industry. I've done a lot. I've seen a lot. And, you know, I still feel like I'm not where I want to be. So, you know, just being where I'm at today, I'm just humbly appreciative, you know. And I feel like that's what makes me likable, because it's like I'm not out here like, yo, I'm better than everybody. Don't get me wrong. I'm coming for the top spot. I'm going to always say that, you know, but I'm still very humble in my travels, because my travels weren't straight. It was always bumpy, you know what I'm saying? So it's now that I'm starting to receive the fruits of my labor, and, you know, I'm just appreciative. I'm just happy to be here right now, because, you know, peers my age that I grew up with, a lot of them not here, whether they jail or dead, you know, some of them had the same dreams I had, you know? So, you know, I'm just humble, I'm appreciative, and I just want to, you know, keep doing what I'm doing and get to the level that I need to be at to help somebody else later on, you know? I got artists right now that I'm working with that I'm helping in the same process of helping myself, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I just feel like, you know, this game will eat you up, you know? So you got to just be prepared and ready for whatever, but you just can't quit, you know? Because I done been robbed for money by family, all because of a dream that I had, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of these artists haven't even been through half of the stuff I've been through trying to make this dream work, you know? And And not to be funny, but I feel like they don't even have the level of talent that I have. And they haven't been through what I've been through. So I just stay humble. You know, I could be cocky. I could do this. I could do that. But, you know, why? For what? You know, I just want to give people what they want. And at the same time, I want to teach the next artist, you know, what to look out for, what not to do, what to do, you know. And I'm still learning. You know, I'm still a student in the game. So I'm not somebody that has all the answers, you know. I just know what I've been through, and I've been through a lot doing this in the 10 plus years I've been doing this. And, you know, like I said, some people, they get on in 2-3 months, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to D-Thing, you know what I'm saying? That's a dude from my hood, you know what I'm saying? A young kid, you know what I'm saying? He made it in a couple of months of rapping, and then boom, now he's locked up, you know what I'm saying? Free that man, you know what I'm saying? And you know, I've been doing this for 10 plus, and I'm still not where he's at. You get what I'm saying? So how can I be cocky? I'm just humble. You know, I'm just happy that, you know, people appreciate the music I'm giving them, and I just want to, you know, create some type of wealth for my family to where when I'm dead and gone, you know, my kids can carry on the legacy, you know?
And
absolutely.
That's real.
With a plan. Always got to come with a plan.
Yeah, that's real.
In and out.
And you know, like King said, go ahead.
And I was saying, and talking about your EP, man, how does it differ from any of your previous projects?
So I've always dropped, like, what I consider mixtapes. I don't consider them albums. I dropped, like, maybe three mixtapes. One of my albums, it was a self-titled album. It got taken down. Because I had some marketing team try to help promote it, and I guess they had bots, and it was fake views, and they took it down. So that's not even here right now. But, you know, I dropped I got bars on that piss, and I dropped another joint, Bad News, that was hosted by DJ Thorough. Shout out DJ Thorough. That's on that piss as well. So I dropped a few mixtapes, but I never dropped, like, a full-length album or EP, so... This is like my first studio EP. Also, I engineer. So a lot of times, most of my music was done in my house. I have my own, I'm sitting in my studio right now. I have my own studio in my crib. You know what I'm saying? So I taught myself how to engineer to where I could cut the cost of certain things and just work comfortably in my house. And I learned coming back that, you know, you need that engineer. You need that guy that has the experience to bring out your vocals, bring out the music, make it sound better. So, you know, I got with my dude, shout out Fleece, my engineer. He's ridiculous. Done his stuff with Russ, little TJ Davies. You know what I'm saying? He's super dope. And me and him, that when we get in the studio, we go to work. So, you know, this is my first real studio album, EP. And when I tell you, I got over 100 songs ready to go. So, and I'm still making more. So next album is coming out very soon, probably like June. I would say June. I'm going to drop another album. This time I'm probably do like 16 songs. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to just keep giving the people music. I told my dude the other day, I'm like, yo, listen, I'm trying to drop 3 albums, 4 albums every year. Like, that's how much I do music. You know what I'm saying? And if I want to go back to my laptop or my computer, I got over 500, 600 songs. I'm talking about timeless music that if I put it on today, like something that's out today. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, like I said, just shout out to my team, the people that's around me that's helping me get to the next level. And like I said, it's a lot more music coming, a lot more visuals coming. We working right now.
And that's what it is, man. Because people have to understand this. Because everybody sees the shine, but they don't see the grind. They see the fame, but they don't see the sleepless nights, you know, the doubts, you know, the plans that didn't always go into action. This is something that you really have to have a passion to do. And when you actually get into the music, because we see a lot of artists talk so much about hip-hop at its core is a competition, because it's all about who really, at the end of the day, really has the product. But one thing about it is the humility and the work ethic is always something that needs to be valued, because without hard work, it yields no results. Without humility, there can be no real interaction. If it is not authentic, it's artificial. And we see so many artists trying to declare themselves, like you said, coming in like they're the best and they haven't put in the work. But they don't understand, number one, exactly, the ego, and they don't understand the work that's number one put in, and then number two, what really it takes sustaining the work. Like you said, you started learning how to handle, you know, engineering, mixing, all that. And like you said, it cuts costs because people, this is what a lot of artists have to understand independently. Everybody is a local artist before they get big. And it's like a job interview when people watch your videos or they listen to your music, how it is constructed, how it is produced, how it is presented. And that is how people are going to relate to you. And this also means you have to have a budget because you have to make sure you have money set aside for what you have to do to, what I previously said, make sure that, you know, you are presenting something to everybody that they're going to rock with. What do artists have to understand in terms of how the finances should be allotted, the resources utilized? Image is something, but it is not everything, and how you have to concentrate on what you are trying to express to your target audience.
So one thing I will say is that nowadays, especially because of the drill era, like a dude can literally shoot 5 videos back to back right in front of his building. Guys, you know what I'm saying? It might even be a cameraman that is his man's. He probably didn't pay no money for that. He didn't a space to shoot the video. All his guys came out. He probably spent maybe $100, $200 in the studio, made the song, and he could blow up today. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I said music has changed a lot. But for me, I always take the old school approach because I don't want to be in that category. I want to be in the category of somebody that's making, you know, movies. I want it to be considered a movie. I want it to be considered a vibe. I want it to be considered something that, you know, is timeless, you know, so for me, like the Such a Vibe video, that budget for that video was well over $2,000 from the models to the space, you know what I'm saying, buying clothes, cameraman, studio sessions, back-to-back, getting it mixed and mastered, then the marketing plan after that, you know what I'm saying? So well over $2,000, but you know what? It shows in the views. It shows how much I put into it because, like I said, in 10 days, we at 120, you know what I'm saying, highly recommended on YouTube. So, you know, it just depends on what's your niche and what's your budget and what you can do and what you can't do. You know, I'm fortunate that I can put up that much for a budget for a video that I believe in. Now, I have certain videos, man, the budget might have been $500, you know what I'm saying? But for this particular song, and I feel like when you have something that you seriously believe in, put a little bit more money into it, put a little bit more time into it, put a little bit more thought into it because, you know, the people are going to see that. The people are going to see, like, he really took his time with setting up the visuals for this. He really took his time with the sound of it. He really took his time with who he put in the video. You know what I'm saying? I had to pay the dancers. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot. A very expensive game that people want to get into, but you know the way the internet works now, you don't have to. You really don't have to. I would never tell an artist you have to do that because you don't. You know what I'm saying? There's so many examples of people who didn't, and they're millionaires now. You get what I'm saying? But what I will say is that are they going to be around 10 years from now? That's the question. You get what I'm saying? Me, the stuff that I do, you know for a fact that once I break that door down, I'm going to be here for another 10 years, another 20 years, and I'm going to bring other artists in that's going to be here for another 10 or 20 years, and that's my thought process. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, there's no right or wrong way to do it. You just got to do it the way you feel fits you and your personality and your sound and your craft, you know?
Absolutely. Now, we wanted to ask you about this, too, when you mentioned drill. Drill, you know, and you know, obviously we come from the gangster rap era, so we saw from its advent, and drill is kind of an extension of that, just being a little bit, well, it's way more aggressive. So we've seen drill over the past, and drill's pretty much as we know it has been around for roughly the past 10-11 years. You know, started from Chicago, and really kind of going out, expanding its way. The mayor Eric Adams in New York City, even because of the violence that's been associated with drill, has even tried to propose legislation to ban drill music, which we saw that and we were like, no, no, this is free speech. You don't ban people from speaking on it. You may not like it, but you can. The Constitution of this country guarantees, as long as it's not threatening somebody directly, we have a right to express ourselves. When you look at drill and a lot of the beefs that have come from drill music, as you as an artist, you as a family man, you as a father, what are your concerns in terms of watching young people getting out there in terms of really inviting trouble that they may not totally understand in terms of when you take it to the street? Because drill is heavy for those who really understand that culture. What do artists have to understand about that? Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm older, so I come from an era where we don't say too much. We don't do too much.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to put a red light or a spotlight on ourselves. So, you know, in our lyrics, you're going to have to really, really, you know what I'm saying, dissect it and try to find something in it. But 9 times out of 10, you're not. You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to word it in a way where you're not going to connect me to anything. You understand what I'm saying? But these young kids, they connect themselves to everything for clout. I shot him. I'm smoking him in a pack. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And granted, listen, it's making them money. It's changing their lives. It's changing their situations. And I've been in those same situations, so I get it. I understand. But I just wish that, you know what I'm saying, they would keep it a little bit more conservative when it comes to putting themselves in danger, putting themselves in harm's way, putting themselves on the radar of the feds and the court system, you know. But I can't say nothing because that's their way, you know what I'm saying? So for me, I respect it because I do drill too, but I do drill in my own way, to where it's like you hear it and a kid that makes drill or listen to drill is going to, he's going to mess with my sound. He likes it because it sounds just like them, but I'm just saying something a little bit different. And on top of saying something a little bit different, I'm giving them metaphors and flows and different things like that. So I respect drill culture tremendously because I grew up in that atmosphere just like they did. Me personally, I just wouldn't put myself in danger or harm's way or, you know, give the feds an indictment. You get what I'm saying? So that's my only thing with the drill. It's like I just wish the kids smarten up a little bit more and not do too much on the song. There's ways you can get across what you want to say without saying it the way you're saying it. You know what I'm saying? But they're young. They got their own mindset, and this is their culture, so they're going to do it the way that they only know how to do it, and I respect it. And that's why I'm coming in with a different mindset and a different style when I do it, to show them you don't have to do it that way. You know what I'm saying? Because then we're not going to do it. You know what I'm saying? So change it up a little bit to where they can't bend it. You know what I'm saying? And for me, I don't really respect banning it because, again, this is – not only is this an outlet for them, but this is a way for them to change their circumstance and the people around them, change their life. So, you know, you doing that is not going to make it less crime. You get what I'm saying? Because the crime is going to happen and been happening way before drill started. You know what I'm saying? In New York, because like you said, drill been going on in Chicago, and they've been killing each other in Chicago. Whether drill was around or not, Chicago is one of the dangerous places you can think of. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think that I do think it's adding to the violence, because now you dissing him, you putting his man's in the song, he's feeling some sort of way, he see you, he want to make a name for himself, he's trying to get on. You know what I'm saying? So it's just adding an extra element of violence, and I get it. But I just think that, you know, whoever is the gatekeepers of this drill thing in New York, they should just sit down and really have a talk with these kids and tell them, listen, you can still do drill, just do it a certain way to where, you know, you're not getting yourself in trouble, you're not getting this person killed or getting yourself killed. You know what I'm saying? Because there's ways to do it. Like I said, I do drill. I got a bunch of drill songs. You know what I'm saying? One of my drill songs, New Clouds, is doing numbers right now. But I'm not naming nobody. I'm not dissing nobody. You know what I'm saying? So you can still do it and it still be a hit. You know what I'm saying? But again, these kids are who they are. You can't tell them nothing. They don't want to hear nothing. You know what I'm saying? I get it. I respect it. And I just let them be them and do them. And I just hope that they don't ban it because, again, that might, you know, cause some more violence. You know what I'm saying? Because now they don't have an outlet. What? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Well, you know, y'all, there's always an element in terms of when we look at things, especially in black culture and street culture specifically. And this argument has been going on in terms of, you know, movies and everything else. You know, people look at it as a cause, you know, but it's really the effect of it. It's not the root cause of it. It's the effect of what's going on.
Right. 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 Poverty, not having nothing, trying to get something, the crabs in the barrel, you know, I don't want him to have this. I want this. You know, this is just systematic control that the government has put upon us for years, you know, so they just want to name it drill and say that this is the reason, but the crime has always been high in cities like New York, Chicago, LA, like, you know what I'm saying? So they just trying to give it a name and make it drill, and don't get me wrong, drill sometimes definitely causes a lot of these incidents nowadays, but it's always been violent, you know what I'm saying? So you know, I just feel like, you know, people got to protect themselves, you know, protect their image, protect who they are, protect their families. And when you want to do something like that, you just got to move a certain way. And, you know, the OGs can't get across to the young kids because they don't want to hear nothing. They feel like they know everything. So you just got to let them learn their own way. And sometimes it's the wrong way, but, you know, it's not everybody's job to tell the next man what to do. Sometimes you gotta let that man find out for himself. Nobody taught me anything. I just learned on my own as I went, and I found out that certain things weren't the right way to go, you know? So,
yeah,
you know, shout out to all the kids that's, you know, doing drill, and I pray that they make it home, and, you know, because it's nasty out here, man. It's like every day somebody's getting killed. It's crazy. And it's not even just drill.
It is.
It's just rappers period. Like, just getting killed every day. Like, it's crazy.
And this is the most dangerous thing about it, because, you know, we root this show in hip-hop culture. We're children of this. We love it. But we also are not blind or naive to what goes on. We speak on drill. We speak on rap beefs. We're not endorsing it, and we're not against it either. But what we are saying is there are certain things of what the message is in the music. Drill, you know, is pretty much is a very aggressive form, and especially how it has manifested itself. When we look at certain artists who got themselves out there, rest in peace, FBG, Duck, you know, for one, you know, in situations, you know, where he was really living that life out there. But it's also when you invite things. One thing about it with artists and what you said, what we were talking about earlier, about how everybody wants to get out there and be known, but don't really understand the consequences of once you have a certain level of celebrity.
Right.
Violence is ever present whether you are speaking somebody's name on a record or not. You say somebody's name in the street and you disrespect them, that invites retaliation. You know, and a lot of times people have to understand, music is one thing. Music is your professional life, but your personal life could be a lot more perilous, how you conduct your affairs, which could leave you a casualty, you know, casually. And I think artists really have to think about, you know, how do you want to be known? Do you want to be known for your art, or do you want to be known as being a mark? You know.
Right.
And that is something, whether gang affiliations, which we see a lot of artists jumping into that were not from that but now want to claim colors. Yes, we've said it again. We can say it because we talked to many people who were really down with it, who were from the claw. Blood, Crip, Pyru, GD, Vice Lord, we've talked to them all.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these kids out here have to understand, when you start adopting certain roles and certain images and promoting certain imagery, you're inviting that lifestyle. You know, and the biggest misnomer is people think being a tough guy is the illest thing. I mean, what Billy Dance say? You know, we from Brownsville, where the illest of killers have been killed. You know, and
right.
that's major. But we don't want to dwell too much on the negativity, more than we want to dwell on, you know, what we want to talk about. Obviously, you're on an upward ascent. When you think about how far you've come, where you're going, what you're still going to accomplish and be successful at, who are some of the people in the game right now that you would love to work with, and have you ever entertained the idea of ultimately doing a major deal with a label if the circumstances of business are correct?
Well, you know, it's a slew of artists that I would love to work with, but mainly, like, off the top of my head, like, definitely Chris Brown, definitely somebody I want to do something with. Young Thug, Fab, of course. I got to do something with Fab. I feel like once I do something with Fab, it's like, you know, say I made it. You know what I'm saying? That's my idol. You know what I'm saying? That's who I look up to. I don't look up to many people. So, you know, Fab, Eminem, Jay-Z, like, you know, people that are like gatekeepers. You know what I'm saying? I definitely want to do some stuff with them. You know, I have my own personal favorites, Bryson Tiller. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of Lil Baby, you know, Lil Durk. It's different people that, you know, I feel like if we get on the track together, it's going to be monumental, you know? And as far as labels is concerned, you know, my goal is to always keep it independent, because I just see so many stories of artists that we look up to, that we look at as somebody really big, and they deal is really trash, really messed up. You know, they getting, you know, what we would say butt raped by the labels, you know, but labels that I've seen kind of do their artists the right way, you know, Roc Nation. You know what I'm saying? I had a situation with Roc Nation. I'm not going to really talk about it, but it was a kind of outside situation. It wasn't really Roc Nation. That didn't really go right. But I feel like if I was to get into the right situation with the right person from Roc Nation, you know, it would be a good situation for me. QC, I'm actually working with them. You know, I can't really talk too much, but I'm doing some stuff with them as well.
Say less. Understood.
But, you know, like I said, QC, Roc Nation, you know, Universal was a big label. So, you know, but for me, honestly, I would rather be with a label that doesn't have so many artists. You know what I'm saying? Because
right,
I need that
right.
full attention. You know what I'm saying? I need that full support, full attention, full eye on me so I can do what I do best, you know? So I don't want to get with some label that's got 200 artists. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Roc Nation might not be the best option at the same time because they have a lot of different things going on over there. But QC, you know, has shown me a lot of love. I just came from Atlanta. They showed me a lot of love. Shout out Mr. Two Official. You know, shout out Mr. .com. You know, they see my work ethic. They see what I'm doing, and they messing with it. So, you know, shout out to them. But, you know, listen, if I can keep it independent for as long as I can, because, you know, they're going to come to you regardless. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
they ain't going to let you be
yeah.
independent for too long. They're going to start throwing numbers at you and, hey, listen, man, this business, you know, you got to spend a lot of money doing this. So, shit, if somebody could come and take over for me and make it a little bit more easier for me to do what I do best, I'm all for it as long as they're not trying to take everything on the back end, you know? So, you know, it just depends on the type of deal that people are going to offer me in the later future or near future, you know. But right now I'm independent. I'm keeping it independent, and I like my independence because I don't like to be boxed in and told what to do. I like to do what I feel is right because it hasn't steered me wrong, you know. I know what the people love. I listen to rock music. I probably listen to R&B more than I listen to hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? So I listen to so many different kind of genres that I could give you a song from every genre, and I know for a fact it's going to hit. You know what I'm saying? I've been doing this long enough to know, you know, what's hot, what's not. So, you know, I really don't want a label telling me what I can and can't do. I'm not really the type of dude that I like to listen to what somebody else tell me to do. You know, I like to do my own thing. But at the same time, you know, you got to conform if it makes sense, you know? So I'm just waiting on my shot to see what's going on. But for right now, I'm giving the people what I want to give them, and they loving it, and I'm going to keep doing that, you know?
Definitely. Now, you said R&B, you're an R&B head. When you think about what Silk Sonic did at the Grammys with Bruno and Anderson .Paak coming together and just creating just a phenomenal masterwork of musical beauty, as a R&B aficionado, how big was that record in terms of that level of collaboration between, only, I guess we can't call them legends yet because the time hasn't passed, but they're on that trajectory.
Right.
Because they are.
Yeah, nah, yeah. We would call that supersonic. You know what I'm saying? Like, their sound is crazy. It takes me back to, like, Silk, you know what I'm saying? The Silk days and Temptations and, you know what I'm saying, Boyz II Men and New Edition. You know, it gives me that feeling. So, you know, for me, I love that because, let's be honest, just like hip-hop, R&B has changed a lot as well. And R&B is not really R&B anymore. R&B is in a really weird space. So that's why I kind of only listen to like certain R&B artists that I know is going to give me that real R&B sound, like Chris Brown, Bryson Tiller, you know, Summer Walker. You know, those people are going to give you that R&B sound. Jhené Aiko, Bruno Mars, you know, Anderson .Paak. Like, those people are going to give you real R&B, you know. So, you know, I think that collaboration was super dope, and I actually have a song that's gonna come out on my new album that has a Bruno Mars The Weeknd sound where I'm actually singing on it, you know what I'm saying? And it's really dope. And, you know, shout out to those guys, because again, you know, it's hard to carry over old school to new school and have the people from the new school respect what you're doing for the old school. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's right now, it's a young man's world. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to this music thing, or everybody that's young is succeeding, all the, you know, older cats are kind of seen as dinosaurs, and you know what I'm saying? But, you know, you still got certain people that are carrying the torch for the new and the old school. So I think that was super dope. Bruno Mars is a super, super dope artist. You know what I'm saying? I'm not really a big fan of The Weeknd like that. I'm just being honest. You know what I'm saying? But he's also one of the ones
album.
That, you know.
I got to admit, that first
yeah,
album.
Yeah, I don't know what happened
like,
after
wow.
that. I don't, me personally,
well,
I don't know. I don't know what
well,
happened. You know what I'm saying? But,
well, I mean, the thing
you know.
Is, Weeknd, when he first came in, because this was when Weeknd first came in, he was a guy who pretty much was kind of, and I mean, the dude is just, he's another Canadian import, you know, along with Deborah Cox, you know, so many other, I mean, Rush, I mean, there's so many Canadian, you know, groups and people, you know, Robin Thicke, of course, so many that have come through the music industry,
right.
They're just talented. You know, when he came through, he was coming through in the capacity of a very, he was new, he had a distinct sound, and it was really, he wasn't necessarily in that circle yet. So his music was
right.
really, he
right.
was really allowed to really express himself in a very unique way. Now he's a little bit more known. Dare we say, I don't want to call him commercialized, but he's in a commercial crowd. So your music is going to change. Yeah,
right.
But I mean,
right.
he's,
that's
but
the
by the same, yeah, but by the same token, he has really found an audience and he's moving
right.
with it. I mean, you know, congrats.
That's
I mean, the boy is like, he's doing it.
I respect it. That's a fact. You know what? And I forgot to mention two other people, Canadian grown, Drake and Tory Lanez. So those two, and I'm mad that I didn't mention them, because if I want to compare myself to anybody, I would compare myself to them two the most. Fab, when I'm doing, you know, some real New York City, you know, top 100, you know what I'm saying? I would say Fab. But if I want to say overall in diversity, I want to give myself a Drake or a Tory Lanez type style, because them two know how to maneuver through different avenues of music. And that's what I would consider my sound like. And those two are definitely idols for me when it comes to the type of music that I do. So I definitely want to give a shout out to them two, because both of them, you know what I'm saying, I don't care about what's going on with Tory with the Meg Thee Stallion. I don't care about none of that. When it comes to music, that boy is a problem. And Drake, forget about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, forget about it. I used to watch Degrassi. So to see him being who he is today, Drake is, like, top. You know what I'm saying? Drake drops. He don't even got to drop music like that. You know what I'm saying? He dropped a tape with 3 songs on it. And every song is... He dropped a song with 10 songs, and every song is on the 100 Billboard. You feel me? So, you know, I got to give a shout-out to them, too. I definitely forgot to mention them, and them two are definitely influences for my music as well.
Still the only artist to win a Grammy with a diss track. Aubrey has done some special things, you know. And, when you look at what Drake has done, obviously his – star has exponentially grown. He has really, really developed as an artist. He is really coming to his own. You know, it's hard to believe. You know, like 15, 16 years ago, you could kind of, you know, if you were a little bit of luck, but more than likely, you could have reached out to him and Noah 40, Noah Shabib, you know, on the MySpace. You know, they were like anybody else at the time. They were still developing. And you got to think, 3 years later, you know, you know, he drops his EP, and it's like, it just, I mean, this dude is like super major. And, I mean, Drake is like, people say what they want to about him, but it's because he doesn't fit the common mold of what the artist and hip-hop is considered to be. This guy is legitimately funny as an actor because, of course, that's how he started. Mm-hmm. He can do comedy. He can sing. He can rap. He's like that kid in class that's quiet, but he's got like a shitload of ability. And when he goes on stage, he really goes up there and does it.
That's
you
a
know?
Fact.
So, yeah, shout out to Drake, man. You know, keep doing it, young, and keep doing it.
But, yeah, that's man, but, you know, this hour about to be wrapped up, man. It was a dope build to have you on, man. We will be supporting you amongst the way. So tell the people where to find you on your social media handles and where to find your album.
You already know it's your boy B Bills. You can find me on IG. That's where I'm mostly at. The Real B Bills, B-I-L-L-Z, The Real B Bills on IG. That's where you can find out everything that's going on with me. B-B-I-L-L-Z on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music. Album is out right now. It's going crazy. Like I said, over 250,000 streams. You know, Such a Vibe video out, New Clouds video out, everything over 100,000 right now. So, you know, just check me out. I follow back. I'm not a, you know what I'm saying? I'm not a superstar. I'm not acting on Hollywood. I follow back, you know. I do collabs. I do it all. So, you know, just holler at me. And see what I'm doing, see what I'm working on. Like I said, new album coming out soon, and we about to go crazy.
D Bills, you are the currency of consummate professionalism and all things current, man. You know, the exchange rate on you is nothing but excellent. Dude, we thank you so much for this. We appreciate you. You know you're welcome back anytime. Once again, thank you, thank you, thank you.
No problem. Appreciate y'all. Thank you for having me.
Definitely,
definitely.
So, yeah, man, we at hour number 2. We about to take a brief music intermission. And when we come back, we're going to bring on our second guest. This joint here is called Love Love from Dick James. Anybody want to call in, as a matter of fact, the bill, 516-531-9596. Let's go.
Yep.
Love is love, all around the world, DSO, Big Bub.
Love, 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 love. Music, everybody talking, tons and flow. So we be making music that be good for the soul. It really don't matter wherever we go. We get love, love, we give love, love.
What it feels like, listen to it real close, see what it feels like. Off to the neighborhood function, conjunction, junction. Get this party jump and break them off a little something. Remember back when Michael Jackson was off the wall, house parties with kids play, we used to have a ball. Nowadays you see
same, they just ain't the same. Shoot joints, we pack them in like the House of Pain. Back in the day before we knew how we were supposed to shine. Rewind the page and take it back to 1989. Remember Lottie Dottie, we liked to party. We won't cause problems and we won't fight nobody. Maybe catch a car game, smoke with the boy, yeah, in front of the band. I smell masterpiece from somebody's house. They drip it on the white tee while I'm up for my mouth. Don't know what you talking about. This old mama rich and think I'm back up in here, dog. Take your feet up off the couch. It's a hood celebration. And everybody trying to beat the heat. Somebody go get some kids out the street. The after party, something to see. And all drapes on me and everybody out with me.
What's going on? What's going on with you, man? Definitely, definitely. Man, look, the song just elicits all types of enjoyable celebratoriness. Takes us back to the old Dave Chappelle, Rick James skit. It's a celebration.
It sounds like some old Dungeon Family type vibe. Like, you know, something from the Goody Mob?
No doubt. No doubt about it, bro. Appreciate that.
We're highly influenced by the Dungeon family. Not Goody Mob, not Outkast, but yeah, Rico, you know what I'm saying? Wade.
Pat Brown, Ray Murray, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's great to have you with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your influences, how you got into the game, just everything, man.
Man, I'm going to do my best to sum it up. I'm a Mississippi boy, country boy, you know what I'm saying, with big city dreams. Born into the game pretty much, man. I saw myself on film, real film, about 15 years ago by my uncle, rest in peace, military veteran, used to do a lot of vintage filming of his family and documenting things. And so I saw myself on film, man, at the age of two with a guitar in my hand, and it really blew my mind because I could not remember back to the age of two until I saw that on film. And then probably at the age of eight, my second instrument was drums. And then at the age of 12, my grandmother, shit, forced me to take piano lessons, man, and that's where my music influence came from. So it's been since I was in diapers, bro.
Definitely from the sandbox to symphonies, man. Look, I mean, talking about, you know, piano and drums, you got a little bit of Max Roach, Buddy Rich. You got, you know what I'm saying, the Billy Joel piano, man. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, the Liberace, you know, all of that, man. I mean, it's so, I mean, it's like you were just born to do this.
Yeah, that's what it appears to me, because no matter what else I've done in life, music has always been a part of it. And so today we're able to be on, you know, a live broadcast with you guys, and we can talk about it because it's like full service, full circle. All the work and all the time and all the effort, the blood, sweat, and the tears, it's showing up for me now, you know?
And talk about Mississippi, man, because Mississippi has a unique scene in a lot of ways. Like, you know, it comes from that soul.
Absolutely. You know, historically, Mississippi's the struggle, the beginning of the struggle, you know what I'm saying? And historically, it has the power to really put the end to the struggle. So... A country boy with big city dreams, you know, New York, New York, big city of dreams, you know, so influenced by the East and categorized by the West, everything west of the Mississippi River. It's like, man, growing up, knowing that in order for me to embark in a music or recording career, I had to go somewhere else other than Mississippi. I had to go to a major state, to a big city. And I knew that at a young age. So mentally, emotionally, and physically, Mississippi made me strong. It prepared me for the world. Because coming up in an environment where you don't have as much or as many resources as some of the high point states and cities do, it gives you a hunger drive. And you have to self-develop more than norm. And so I appreciate my journey, my struggle, because it helped shape me into the, you know, individual that I am today. And I realized that it was never really about just me. It's about us. So that journey being from Mississippi and things of that nature, we're soul survivors, bro.
Absolutely. And when you think about it, Mississippi, man, you know, it's definitely, you know, the Delta blues, all that. You know, and also, too, a lot of people got to think about it. There's one particular big boss by the name of Ross, who was born in Clarksville, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's why a lot of, yeah. Yeah, man. But I mean, you got Tupelo, Biloxi, Jackson. You know, shout out to the, you know, to everybody out there. You know, I mean, it's the 601. You know, 5-6. You know, and everybody out there, man. I mean, y'all be representing.
No doubt.
So, of course,
no doubt.
Definitely can't forget about my man Boo Rossini. Shout out him in Jacksonville, and of course Snoop 11. You know, can't forget. Yeah, can't forget our guys out there, man. You know,
BTC,
so,
baby. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah, man. 11 the artists. You know, so we got connects out there, man. So we got to shout y'all out in every way for y'all keeping it real and thorough.
Appreciate that, bro. Appreciate that acknowledgement. Absolutely. Definitely some great talent that came out of the SIF and going to continue to come out of here. And shout out to, you know, the SEA, Southern Entertainment Awards Conference, coming up in May in Biloxi, the casinos, May 19th through the 22nd. I'm nominated for the Internet Hustler of the Year, so we're going out there to get that win right there. It's going to be pretty big. Feel me?
Definitely. Now, when you think about your time on a musical journey, James, and when you look at what you went through getting there, what was it like in terms of really when you, what was it like those years of, because obviously you had the grooming in terms of playing the instruments, but what was it like in terms of really developing your sound, really getting in the studio? What was it like in terms of understanding how to put it all together and your musical identity, you know, culminating all of your influences into articulating your art?
Well, if we were able to, you could do like a video, I would give you a brief run around into like my front row, man. It's filled of, you know, art, man, of our urban influences and Latino influences and European influences, all the great people who have influenced us in a positive and powerful way, whether it's film, whether it's comedy, whether it's record industry, or whatever the case it may be. I got like 50 portraits of them all on my front living room wall, man. It's like when I'm in my own space and a peace of mind, it's like I'm receiving information and I'm receiving guidance, direction, and energy from them, man, because it's like they're all looking at me at one time. And it's like they're all giving me their grace, because, you know, I was blessed to be born and raised and influenced by three generations of music. or let's say years of music, from like the late 70s, when my mom's brothers and sisters used to play music at my grandmother's fish fries and car parties and bootleg parties and stuff, that I didn't know that that's what was going on, because I was too young to realize it at that age. But today it's clear to me. My grandmother's name was Bootlegger. She was one of the biggest bootleggers in my hometown in Mississippi, and she was well known throughout the Golden Triangle region. So, and then music of the late 80s, man, and then, you know, hip hop came in, and then my mother was very instrumental gospel vocalist growing up, whereas she led the church every Sunday morning righteously for at least 35 years. So it's like, bro, I couldn't escape. Music, man, it's an escape for me too, because, you know, it's highly drug driven and vice lord gangsters, black gangsters. I grew up, you know, as a vice lord, and music gave me the escape from it, man, because otherwise I don't see how I would have made it out. It was either in jail, dead, or disappointing my mother by being a kingpin, man. So music and the military gave me a way out, brother, 17 years ago. I took it, I ran with it, and I didn't look back.
Yeah, because both of the genre, whatever you get into the military and whatever you doing music, it requires a whole lot of focus and discipline. And
exactly.
Discipline, and you master those traits, man, you can become a monster.
appreciate that, bro. That's the first time that I actually heard someone say that to me as clear as that, like that. So I'm just humble, in which I don't humble often. However, in this particular moment, I am, because it's gratifying to hear someone I've never actually personally met to just give me some love, genuinely and casually, bro. That feels great, man.
Well, I mean, one thing about it is when we, this show right here, this is King's Baby, and this is what we always had a vision of doing in terms of really showing love and genuine respect, because we understand what it goes into in terms of your art, like you said, with your music and your military, you know, the pedigree that you came from, it allowed for that regimen that allowed you to understand a strict adherence to the craft, and it gave you direction, especially when we know about, you know, how Mississippi, you know how Mississippi get down, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, of course, we take it back to the days with Crooked Letters, you know, Kamikaze, you know, and David Banner before, you know, David Banner went solo, you know.
Yeah.
So we're familiar, very familiar with the history out there from a lot of levels. And especially with you being a, you know,
oh, yeah,
rifle.
Man, I was going to cut you off, but not to mention, man, a lot of Snoop. Snoop say he got a lot of Snoops out there. And
yes,
yeah.
Snoop, Dog Pound, Ray J, Brandy, you know what I'm saying? It's Ray Sherman right up the street from me, 45 minutes in Tupelo. So, you know, and I got a party in Tupelo this Saturday coming up, man. So it's like, yeah, bro, it's historically... It's a lot of great people collectively that just don't get, you know, the kudos like they probably would if the music industry was still down here. The gospel industry is still here because of, you know, Malico Records, but the hip-hop industry is just not down here. So until further notice, being great and coming out of Mississippi and being able to represent and be great examples, that's just going to have to suffice, you know?
And, I mean, that whole Gulf Coast. I mean, when you look at Muscle Shoals, you know, when you look at Stax Records, you know, Alabama, all of that, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, that Deep South, you know, with Lynyrd Skynyrd, all of them would come through. You know, I mean, that's, the history
right.
is rich because it really, really, really encompasses, it entails, it expresses that down home kind of vibe. When you think about how it allows you to really, really give your vision on it, especially given your upbringing and things you went through, how did you transition from the street life? Because we're going to get into that about the Vice Lord thing in a minute, because we want to ask you about how a lot of artists out here claim to really be down on the street level with real crews of that notoriety and not really understanding what entails. When did you realize this was something that you could do? What was the epiphany of you, like the eureka moment of, I got this energy and I'm going to spread it all over? What was it? Was it a song you wrote? Was it a writing session? Was it a creative recording session? What was it?
Man, I was like 14 years old, and it was a rap contest at the skating rink with Mississippi's most popular DJ, DJ Chocolate Drop. And he was from out of the Gulf Coast, but he did the skating rink in the Gulf Coast. He did it in Jackson. He did it in Hattiesburg. And he also did it down here in my hometown, Columbus and Starkville, Mississippi State. So he did like six cities every Saturday and Sunday night. And he did a $500 rap battle, man. And, you know, Mississippi is known for having families to move elsewhere because of the struggle. But then during the summertime, a lot of the kids or the grandkids would always come back down to their roots in the summertime and spend time with their cousins and their grandparents and things of that nature. So, you know, you had a lot of people that went to New York, Chicago, St. Louis, Boston, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and they were B-boys because they grew up in the city. So you would automatically think that because they had the look, man, they probably were going to be dope lyrically too. So I wasn't shaken by any of that, man. I just had a lot of confidence. Our parents and our family members, they just instilled it in us. So that was a blessing. And I entered that competition, and I outright won that competition. And we had grown men in that competition. So at that age, when I realized I was able to do that, that told me that apparently you have a talent when it comes to writing, skill, and music. Not even realizing that the piano lessons and all the stuff that I had probably been involved in prior had anything to do with that at that time. But today, I am for certain that all the things musically were a part of my development. I know piano lessons for sure allowed me to learn to play and to read music.
Man, look, when you talk about it, because, you know, we caught that SEC reference for the Bulldogs, Hail State, you know, about the days of Wayne Mackin, Jackie Sherrill, Jarius Norwood, Fred Smoot,
yeah.
You know, of course,
yes,
Rick Stansbury used to be a coach of the basketball team, Shane Power, Eric Dampier. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We know what side of Egg Bowl you're on. We know what side of Egg Bowl
absolutely.
You're on with that rivalry y'all got with Mississippi, with Ole Miss.
So, you know what's also really ill about Mississippi, too, is the homecoming coach y'all have as well. Like the black bands and all that.
Yes. That's the culture, bro. I mean, and it's coming back, especially with Deion Sanders coming out of Jackson State, man. That original culture has been revitalized because growing up, those were some of the main things that were featured attractions. And my mind was just blessed to be advanced because Mississippi State, Jackson State, Southern Miss, Ole Miss, they were the highlights.
We can't forget
of growing up in Mississippi.
Yeah, we can't forget Mississippi Valley, of course, with Archie Gunslinger Cooley and Jerry Rice, of course.
All that, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like, man, you know, if my mind wasn't advanced, that's probably what I would have done. I probably went up to Mississippi Valley State, or I would have went to Southern Miss because we did go to visit them during our junior and sophomore years in high school. And Southern Miss was a beautiful university, man. Jackson State.
Yeah, that's where Brett Favre went. Golden Eagles. Yeah, Golden Eagles.
Right.
Brett Favre went there. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jackson State was too wild for me because, you know, that was really gangster, man. You know, when LL Cool J and them came down for the concert, he got shot. His DJ got shot. He got robbed, man. So my mom didn't want to go to Jackson
State. I don't think we've ever heard this story.
Yeah, bro, and my mom didn't want me going to Jackson State, and that's really where I wanted to go because it had ethnicity from everywhere all across the globe, and it was like the most popular band that, you know, the Jackson Boone.
Now, with Deion being a Jackson State, being a football coach now, how big do you think that is for black collegiate sports in terms of having a living legend, the greatest NFL cornerback ever? Yeah, I said it, and I dare somebody check me on it.
Absolutely.
How big was that for Deion to take that job with y'all? Well, with y'all down in Mississippi being for the HBCU?
Man, Deion is basically the ambassador for that. And I'm sure he knew that when he took that position because there's no bigger celebrity endorsement than Deion Sanders. Anything and everything that came after him, he was the one that set that standard because of how he was able to do more than one sport and be great at both of them. And with him being
and then Bo
here,
Jackson. And then Bo Jackson.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Bo Jackson came after Deion. You know what I'm saying? And Deion had a career. Bo didn't even get to have an entire career.
As a Raider fan, man, King and me being Raider fans, we just think what could have been.
Oh yeah,
that's a harsh reality.
I mean, the Raiders are still a dynasty, However, just believe it, I don't like to use the term here, but if Bo Jackson would have been able to have at least a 5 to 10 year career,
you good. What about you?
Shit, the Raiders would have more Super Bowl rings than anybody today. People would be still trying to put up to them.
Yeah.
You guys are definitely up to date with your history, man. I'm impressed with you guys and all the information and stuff you know and you have about my Mississippi, man. I love that.
Man, look, we got love for everybody out there, man. We definitely, with this far to show what we do in terms of how we do it, we always want to show respect and love to our guests in terms of being respectful to them and where they come from. You know, this is one thing we pride ourselves on doing. Your history is a vice lord. Because a lot of artists we see today are really trying to tie themselves up in gang activity, really not understanding. A lot of people don't know about the history in terms of where the Folk Nation, People Nation, you know, the 8-Ball Alliance, early 90s in Kansas City, where that all started. It's a heavy, heavy history. That's something we can't really talk about on the show in detail, but for those that know, they know. When you see a lot of artists out here trying to play that game on the street, man, what's your opinion of it in terms of where they try to mix the street with the music?
Man, you know, to be honest about it, they're lost, man. You know what I'm saying? And they really don't have proper direction. They don't have proper guidance, man, because it's like I did that because that's what I was influenced by. It was everywhere you turned in my community. Doesn't make any difference where you went left or right. It was either that or Gangsta Disciple, because my brothers, you know, from my father's side, my first cousin, different territories. You know what I'm saying? It's like you were chosen. If you were some way beneficiary to whatever group there was, whether it was for girls or whether it was some sort of business tactics, washing cars, fish fries, hustle, whatever it was, man, you know, that was your pass key. And I did it because that's all there was. It was basically a protective state of nature because you had rivalries.
Mm-hmm.
We were born into those type of things. We didn't ask for it, but you had to have sex, man, because otherwise, you know, you probably wouldn't have been able to enjoy a life growing up as a young kid, man. Probably would have been taken under, whether it was the gang violence or drugs, man, or prison for selling drugs or killing somebody for having to protect yourself or protect your family, man. So the military saved me, man. That was my way out. My mom allowed me to sign up for the early entry program because I knew Mississippi didn't have enough opportunities for me, and I wasn't going to compete with my everyday brothers and sisters for an opportunity that was so few. So I fought with her for a few years, from like 15 to 17. She finally allowed me to do it because my elder brother went in and he was having success. So she allowed me to do it, man, and that took me away from the streets. And once I got in and got locked up with the military for at least 6 months period of time, it just allowed me some freedom to reflect. I wasn't with my everyday surroundings. I didn't have to look over my shoulder constantly. So I started realizing a lot of my actions, man, they had to be coming from, I wasn't even blaming my environment. I just started saying, dude, you crazy, man. You wild. You need to calm down. It's not the people around you because you're in places that are new. So a lot of the animosity that you may have had growing up, you no longer really have to deal with that because no one really knows you like that. You don't have to face those unnecessary challenges. The military took me to places and environments and allowed me to develop as a young man and grow and become responsible. And allowed me to shape my mind to realize that now I can do things for
a single mother who was once being responsible for me. Now I am able to take care of myself so I can do something in return as a token of appreciation. So that's just really how I chop it up and look at it, because during our time and era, you knew who your sole caregivers were, and you knew what you did have versus what you didn't have. So there wasn't no second guessing. There wasn't no playing around or faking the funk. When you were given an order, you knew it was legit. So either you were about something or you was about that foolery. And today, I'm not sure exactly what happened to all of the people who were in place to keep the bridges together in between those gaps. But some of them got taken away. Some of them got locked away. Some of them got killed, murdered. And some of them got caught up in drugs and alcohol use and abuse, man. So we are the seeds of those people. You guys have a platform. You have a lot of knowledge. You have a lot of information. You guys are huger than you probably even realize, because you have a powerful influence and voice, and you can touch people around the world that you will probably never encounter or embark on or ever meet physically and still be able to impact them in a positive and motivational way, man.
Man, that means so much to us, because one thing about it, and I will keep shamelessly plugging my brother. I came on, this is King started this 7 years ago because he had a vision and was disillusioned with a lot of the stuff he heard out there. And he just had a vision, and he's like, I can do something that is going to be insightful, it is going to be intelligent, it's going to be better than what I'm hearing now. And 5 years ago, they brought me on the team, and I'm blessed every day I'm able to do this, to be part of something. I mean, we've interviewed people that we grew up listening to. We've interviewed artists that we, you know, never met like yourself, but enjoy the music. We love the movement. We support, you know, your vision. And it's just, it's gratifying, because one thing about it, we understand the responsibility we have, first as Black men, and secondly as journalists. And that is what we want, in terms of showing that buffoonery and coonery is not our complexion. Excellence and intelligence is our essence and our ethnicity. You know, we are shaded in all things scholastic and academic. You know, that's how we want to let those colors shine bright. And that's what we strive to do with every broadcast we do. When you think about it, Dick, in terms of you being in the military and things you got to see, and we see so many of our children trapped in the hood, and a lot of times, keeping it real, sometimes Black people, we have a very narrow view of that sometimes falls into what we call this state of Blackness that we try to define as, when the reality is our culture is varied, it is diverse, it is wonderfully eclectic. How important is it for our children to be able to express themselves, to see different things, to know that they are more than a situation that may limit them, but with the right outlet, they can become limitless and they can become infinite in whatever they aspire to be?
It's very, 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 very important. It's so vital that it opens their eyes. And when I mean their eyes, not the ones that they're visualizing through, but their, you know, their third eye, their mindset through those camera lenses, which are their eyes, to the reality versus propaganda that's being forced and taught. It, because we know seeing is believing. In most cases, when you see it, you can believe it, and you believe it, you can achieve it. And it allows them to question not only themselves, but the predecessors, the educators, you know, the informers. You know what I mean? Because otherwise, you'll just be told something, you'll just be handed something, and you'll be expected to just accept it. So being able to see and experience and taste something other than your everyday normal environment, it's going to challenge you, and it's going to challenge your conscience and your subconscious. And eventually it's going to make you start paying attention to the silent whispers that are inside your head that you constantly hear on a regular basis, but because you're distracted and you haven't been taught to tap into your inner self and your higher self, that you tend to think that it's an illusion that's going on inside. When it's not, it's a battle, you know, of your conscious and your subconscious. You know, the yin and the yang, or what they call good versus evil, you know.
Right.
That is the thing that we all have to learn as individuals who are successfully given what would be considered a normal life and the opportunity to grow and to live that life normally without physical, mental disabilities that came through birth or something by nature. Because not everybody's actually granted a full normal life. So for those of us who are blessed, able to accomplish that, it's for a reason. We've been given a duty and a responsibility. And we know that we're born into a world of sin, so we have to be educated and informed properly in order for us to be able to maneuver and to be able to elevate ourselves and the people around us that's bearing witness to us, because we're all a sample. We're all an example. When we recognize it, realize it, acknowledge it, then we can apply it, because the greater we are comes from the greater that we enable the people around us to become by being firm examples. And when
Absolutely.
We get the proper, when we receive the proper tools, it's almost inevitable for us to become that. Life is trial and tribulations, and the good, the bad, and the ugly, they come together. They don't come separate, because we don't know the difference or the value between either of them without experiencing them all together. And so,
absolutely. Go ahead.
So I have learned to impress upon myself that we all have a good self and a bad self. And I like to call that self my twin. And so I use that as an example in third party, because my twin went out there and my twin did all the foolery and the foolishness and the fuckery. And I was able to bear witness to it, what allowed me to stay out of that and to go into a different direction, because my bad self went out there and it gave me an example of what I should not be doing. And if not for my evil twin, then I probably would have been the evil twin. So I'm thankful for my split personality that allowed me to look at myself in the mirror and see my true reflection and point me in the direction that I'm supposed to be going and align me with people who don't have a problem with holding one another accountable.
Like Razzcast said in the Soul on Ice remix, the diameter of your knowledge is the circumference of your activity. And it's about having that awakening in your spirit to understand where you want to go in life, because everything will not be ideal in the situation that is presented in front of you. And I think a lot of people have to understand that. There's always a choice, and you're going to make the right one or the wrong one. And, I mean, not to beat a dead horse. You know, we look at a situation with what happened with Will Smith and Chris Rock. You know, that was something that, on one hand of it, the emotional aspect of Will in terms of the stand where he was in a state of mind when he did it. But it's also about the action in terms of what you're thinking that leads up, the attitude and what you're thinking, the thought that leads up to the action. And once you allow yourself to get out of there in a certain place, because anybody can be mad, and anybody can have stuff already going on. You know, we won't delve into all the stuff that's been said ad nauseum about everything he's been through. But there is a point where you have to understand you're coming to a crossroads, and either you're going to deal with this head on in terms of what's been going on and come to grips with it, and, you know, or you're going to lash out because you have not come to grips with it and it manifests itself. Exactly. You have not dealt with it. And what we saw with that situation was somebody who has not completely dealt with everything that has been going on. And that's not for me to judge that man or crucify that man. But he obviously, that slap wasn't about what Chris said. That was everything that had been building up over that time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you're not judging him because you bear witness to him.
Right.
And you have a right to speak on what you witness. Not like you're smearing it or you're saying anything that's not valid. It is the truth, because what we witness, it definitely is relatable to us in our personal lives as well.
Absolutely.
And everything you said applies to us. We are not, you know, excused.
Yeah, it's a teachable moment within this. This is where it depends on who is bringing the dialogue about the situation. Now, if it's coming from us, you know it's going to be a teachable moment because there's lessons to be learned in this.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Going on for a minute, man. The stage name, man. How'd you come up with the stage name?
That's a never escapable moment. And it's not, you know, what the average mind would think, you know what I'm saying, because of the name itself. But, no, man, rest in peace to my elder brother, man. He was a great dude. He was a phenomenal athlete. And his name was Dick, Lester Dick. And, you know, so they called me Lil Dick, man. And I didn't want to not keep the name so that it wouldn't look as though I didn't love my brother, and I still wanted to, you know, honor him because I was everything that he was. I walked in his footsteps until I became my own person and identified with myself. And that's what I did. So instead of me just saying, hell, I'm not Dick anymore, I took our last name and added it and grew up and just removed the little, because no grown man can keep the name Lil Dick, you know what I'm saying, and not be able to escape, you know, getting clowned or, you know, how can you really take that serious, you know what I'm saying? So I just became business with it, created the name, the company, and, you know, that's what people have known me for at least 15, 20 years now, man, Dick James. So it's a blessing. It has nothing to do with sex or anything. Now, the name draws attention of the lady, you know what I'm saying, so I do benefit from that. However, now, he probably had that issue, because since he got the name originally, you know, from a grandmama and them like that, they called him Dick, you know what I'm saying, so he probably had that issue with where the name came from and what's going on with this and that. But me, I really ain't had that issue.
Well, like they say, what's in a name? But I mean, but the fact is, it's about continuing a legacy. How important is it to have to maintain your identity throughout this musical journey that you've been on, in terms of who you are as a man, as an artist, and as an individual, just as a human?
That's what allows me to be who I am musically, because it's me. It's an expression of me and the various levels and growth of myself. So I wouldn't be able to participate in any situation without being able to do that. See, that's what the government taught me. It taught me how to develop and make the most out of your talents and your skills. And it also taught me that either you're going to learn how to hustle yourself, or you're going to have to accept the fact that someone else is going to hustle you.
Hmm.
Hustle and get hustled.
That's it. That's life itself. So when you learn yourself, you learn your ability, you apply yourself and you tap in, you should benefit from it. There's no way around it. You and whoever it is you're responsible for. And, you know, monkey see, monkey do. When you see something that's beautiful and it's working, it influences people.
Yeah.
Especially your children.
It's all about, yeah, and that's how, I mean, one's immortality is achieved through their offspring. And you want to leave a good example in terms of what your name means, in terms of what your children are following and whatnot. In terms of the musical journey you've been on, who have been the people you've been blessed to work with in the industry in terms of meeting and just really being able to interact and see how it really works?
Man, rest in peace to my uncle, Vernon Young. He was the lead singer of Bill Pickney and the God damn it. Forgive me, it's right on the tip of my tongue, man. One of the greats, like the Temptation groups, man. Bill Pickney from out of Sumter, man. God damn, man. I hadn't mentioned that in any of the interviews, and it was weighing heavy on my mind. Vernon Young, lead singer of the original Drifters, man. Bill Pickney and the original Drifters. I did one of my first singles, man, in like 2002. With him, man, called I'm Dick James, I'm a Hustler. And then 2002, I met Arnold Taylor performing that song at a talent show with the Big DM and Hot 103.9 in Columbia, South Carolina. And we know Arnold Taylor is the CEO of SCMG Music Group today, currently number one record label with the baby, XYZ and all that old different shit like that. And that's been my big brother and my mentor since 2002, man. You know, I pick up the phone, call, text. He takes my calls, still entertain each other after 20 years. And if I really just wanted to go a label route, that's the route I would be going. But it's not about me. I've had a great time in shining and learning and development. But I love helping other people and empowering people. So with him becoming the CEO of the number one label, to me, it just influenced me and told me what I need to do now is I have to start working and developing young talent because he's a great guy and he's not going to do anything that'll, you know, cause a negative in anyone's life. He's a type of individual that helps your life grow and become powerful and positive. So he wouldn't take advantage of artists, you know what I'm saying, and short them of their money and their earnings and stuff like that out of greed. So that's a trust factor right there. I know that his word is 100 and his worth ethic is above the average. So I'm out here developing artists and I'm looking to create a label situation in the future, you know what I mean? I'm just building the value. So when I do sit down at the table and talk to him, I have my numbers right and the activity of what I've created and generated out here be able to match with the numbers, so it won't be no issue of me being able to get the budget that I request. Like,
right.
You know, SCMG South down here in Mississippi, you know, like Luda and Uncle Scarface.
Right.
Those are my goals.
And that's important because you got to show people in terms of the business aspect, not only do you have the business savvy, but that you've done the work that validates the business that has been conducted. Because people can say they did business, but the business may not always be correct. But when you have shown, but once you have shown that you have put in what you have to put in to really show that you are dedicated, that you are honorable, that you are knowledgeable, and above reproach in terms of your word is what it means in terms of actually being genuine, then it really, really facilitates a deeper relationship and a more respectful interaction in terms of what you are trying to accomplish. And I think that's paramount. A lot of artists need to understand that.
Absolutely.
Because the outcome you get, like they said, good business is not always what you deserve. Good business is what you can negotiate, and your reputation in business is what will help you negotiate.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. What'd you say, bro?
I said, so yeah, I mean, that's what that it is. Yeah, man, I mean, but, you know, one thing about it, man, I mean, you know, is this is the type of dialogue we really enjoy because it doesn't always have to be about music. It's about life. It's about the people in it. It's about who influences you, the type of life you want to live, and the life that you want to leave and will lead and then leave behind for others. When you look at the gifts, when you look at the blessings, when you look at your sojourns, you know, when you look at everything that you have achieved, what you have aspired to and accomplished, what your aim is and your goal, as you still have the work going on, what are your sentiments in terms of just, you know, forging ahead, you know, cultivating greatness?
We still here. We're still developing. That's what I've learned. Every day is a moment that you can influence somebody and you can also continue to grow and become better. And until then, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to get up off that lazy ass and we're going to go out here and we're going to be a great example, man. You know, blessed to be able to. So as long as I'm able, I'm definitely going to keep the mindset of being willing, you know. That's what it is, and I'm happy to have arrived there because it's a beautiful feeling, you know, it really is. And then don't forget, don't get me wrong, it's not peaches and cream, but it's definitely rewarding, you know. And life is challenging, and if it doesn't challenge you, then you never are able to advance. That's the only way to be able to advance and to elevate is by being able to accept, you know, the challenges that life throws at you at any given time.
For real, man. And, you know, to talk about the music real quick, because, you know, we've got 3 more minutes, man. Do you have any projects that you got in the works for 2022?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm remixing a couple of records, man. Oh, hey, man, I'm remixing Ready for the World, man. Melvin Riley, man. Let Me Love You Down. I'm remixing that record, man. I'm also taking a shot at remixing the Dramatics, man. You know what I'm saying? Old pop record from the mid-80s, man. I Hear Your Secrets, you know, that you keep when you know, talking in your sleep. So you guys know the record, man. I'm going to put my own spin on it, man. I'm taking it back to the, you know, to the origins, man. You know, they took our music and they popularized it then, and so I'm taking our music back and I'm going to repopularize it with my spin on it, man.
Man, look, when you said I Hear the Secrets of Cable Talking in the Street, that's like the Cars with Rick Ocasek and all that, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. So, yeah.
A big shout out to Angela Covey that will make this night happen. She's one of the hardest
Angela.
We had to big her up on that
one. No doubt. She's a beautiful soul. Oh yeah, man. And then shout out to Big Bub, man. Y'all remember Big Bub, the lead singer of the R&B Platinum Group Today, man. He's featured on that record as I played Love, Love, man. So I worked with him directly, man, from 2006, man, and like 2009 I was his personal assistant, man. With their independent label. You know what I'm saying? So I gained a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience, man. Just having that position right there alone, like I got to do the Wendy Williams show, you know, when Charlamagne was on the Wendy Williams show, man. I got to do Double XL and all different types of things, man. Sister. So I learned a lot of PR work, man. I learned booking work, man. Actually, Lil Mo, you know, Superwoman, was their first independent solo artist that they signed to their label in 2007. So, man, I did booking for a little more in the Carolinas, man. I brought the first one to bring her down to the Carolinas. during that time, man. So I just blessed, bro, to learn and be a part of a lot of different wonderful scenarios, man. And I'm here to just spread my wisdom and knowledge to any young or youth or mid or age or elder that's willing to participate in exchange the time and information and energy with me, bro.
Definitely. Dick, this has been, you know, this has been a pleasure, man. Your wisdom, your considerateness, your friendship, we so appreciate this. You're welcome back anytime. Feel free to reach out to any of your industry connections, artists, whomever. Tell them we would love to have them on the show. We're definitely going to keep building. And, yeah, man.
I got you, bro. You guys are very great. You're very articulate, you know what I'm saying? And you're very passionate, you know, very informative. So I appreciate it, man. This is a growth moment. I love making, you know, memories, man. So I appreciate you guys. And we'll definitely send some of that work your way, man. You guys got it.
No doubt, man. Appreciate the love.
Always, bro. One love. Y'all stay up.
Definitely.
I'm out.
Peace. Peace. On that note, King, take us out of here.
On that note, we up out of here. Catch us tomorrow night. Same time, same channel. Y'all know the business.
Yeah. Peace.